Welcome to the Next Level Sales Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Jankowski. If you're here, it's probably because you're a pretty new sales leader and you're looking to shorten the learning curve. I'm excited to welcome my guest, Valerie Avila, onto the show. Val is a senior sales manager at JustWorks. Valerie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Derek. Hi, everyone. As Derek mentioned, I'm a senior sales manager at JustWorks. I've been at JustWorks for 7 years, started my career in sales at Cutco, selling some knives, and worked my way through that, did well, wanted to just pursue that sales career, and single platform led me into the tech world. And I joined JustWorks super early on and have built my career since then, having been in a sales management role now for about 5 years.
What made you want to become a leader?
So I've always enjoyed, and well, actually, one thing that I learned going through the process of building out JustWorks is how much I love building. When I joined, the company was about 10 employees. We were pre-Series A, and we really were just figuring out everything together and paving the way for that future growth. And I just loved being part of that strategy and building and, you know, figuring out the right way to approach so that we could win and get a greater market share. And on top of that, I really enjoyed giving back to others. So I was naturally always inclined to help the new folks get up to speed, you know, train and coach them to make sure that they become better versions of themselves. And, you know, seeing people really excited about the progress that they made based on feedback that I would provide also made me happy and excited. So really that giving back and building were the main reasons.
Cool. I think those are critical for, like, leadership is such a selfless, you know, it's not a me first kind of role. It's got to be about your impact on other people for sure.
Oh yeah. I always tell my team that I work for them, not the other way around.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best way to think about it. Well, can you talk a little bit about, you know, when you first became a sales leader, what are some things that either mistakes that you made or something that you wish you'd done differently?
So and it's interesting. I was just talking to one of my reps about this. I was really young when I got promoted into management, and a huge part of me was very insecure about that. And I probably went the wrong end of the spectrum to start, where instead of, you know, empowering the team to be successful and autonomous, I went towards micromanagement because I felt I needed more control over the outcomes. And, you know, I trusted myself to close, but I didn't really learn to trust the team until a bit later in my sales career, our sales management career. So, you know, those were definitely some mistakes that I made. And I think that really just stemmed from that level of insecurity of, you know, are they going to take me seriously? Because I was so young at the time. So yeah, it definitely had to work through that and learn some hard lessons in the process, because I ended up, you know, I know there was a, you know, someone that I probably wasn't coaching in the most effective way. And actually somebody that ultimately sales was not the place that they wanted to be in, that I just kind of kept them along and, you know, stepped in to close some of their deals pretty much for them, because I wanted the team to win. I wanted our team to be a success and show and prove myself to my senior leadership as well, that, you know, I could do this. So those were definitely some of the problems that I encountered, and ones that come up in different ways for different people. So it's important to really understand what are your own internal roadblocks, mental roadblocks, to be a better, more effective leader.
Okay. I think that's really interesting. So how could somebody figure out what their mental roadblocks are? Like, was there a point where you realized, oh, I'm acting this way because I'm young and kind of insecure about it? And then you could, like, turn yourself around, or how did that go?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a variety of things. On one end, self-reflection's huge, right? And I think that's something that I've learned over time. It's, you know, it's very important to take that time to figure out what's your way to self-reflect and work on yourself as an individual. For some, that could be therapy. For me, that was yoga and, like, retreats and meditation. So that helped me a lot to figure out what stuff was creeping up from my past that maybe showed up in different ways in my day-to-day. You know, as far as how it also came up on the job, I did receive some negative feedback from the team, you know, saying that, you know, they felt like I was a little bit too, what's the word? Basically a little too harsh in terms of how I was managing the team, and that thankfully I was very fortunate to have an amazing VP, Rob Lopez, to also call me out and hold me accountable. But he at the same time gave me the space to fail. So he did tell me at one point, he's like, listen, Valerie, this may sound obvious, but different people are different, similar to how different countries are different. You know, you need to act differently with different people and give them what they need to then be successful. So be able to adapt and not necessarily do the same thing for everybody, because that's not going to get you as far.
When your team, so it's really helpful that you had somebody to mentor you there. Mm-hmm. And I love that your team gave you that feedback, because I feel like when you have a manager that is pretty tough, as it sounds like you were, they're mm-hmm. intimidating. How did you get that? Was that anonymous? Or I guess you can talk about that.
Yeah. So we had an annual review process, and we still do, that is anonymous, that comes from our direct reports. And on top of that, I decided to implement a halfway point review. And I said, you know what? I've only been doing this for a short period of time. When you're selling directly, you have pretty clear feedback results, because you're either closing or you're not. So why not go through a similar process in managing? So I did request that information from the team. I made a Google survey and asked them to tell me. And, you know, I also asked them to just be as honest as possible. It is anonymous. So the anonymity, I think, made people more comfortable being candid. So that definitely helped. Yeah.
I love that. My bet is doing that convinced maybe some of the fence sitters on your team that you actually cared, right? You cared enough to learn from them about how you could be better. You know, yeah. I mean, what's the stat that I forget the exact stat, but people don't leave companies, they leave bosses.
Right.
Right. And, you know, even if I've seen lots of teams producing where everybody hated the boss, and so you just get high turnover.
Oh yeah. I think about that all the time. You know, it's really important. And you hear it when, you know, if you talk to friends in different industries, maybe the industries have great bosses, maybe they don't, and they could really love the subject matter of what they're doing. But if, you know, their leadership creates more of a toxic environment, then that's going to be something they're going to want to go away from, and maybe go work in that industry, but for a different company. So 100% right. Agree with that.
Right. You had mentioned retreats. Did you do those like silent meditation retreats, or did you do something else?
So you're thinking about Vipassana, right? The 10-day.
That might be it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was incorporated for a day of the week. Okay. So I've done a few. I've done 3-day long. I've done week long. I've done 2-week long retreats. I've never done a full Vipassana retreat, which is a 10-day silent meditation retreat. That is really intense. I have friends that have done it and they swear by it and love it. Maybe I'll do it someday. It's a little scary though. You're just stuck in your thoughts for 10 straight days. So,
right.
You know, it definitely takes a lot of courage to face that.
Yeah.
But it's something I aspire to do at some point.
I imagine, in our society, any amount of silence is challenging, right? Mm-hmm. Much like sitting, you know, if you want to sit silently, you'll grab your phone and check Twitter or, you know, TikTok. Just got on TikTok, by the way. If anyone listening who's not on TikTok, don't do it. Don't get on.
I had to do it. I caved early pandemic, and after I realized I was spending an hour or two on it, I deleted it.
Yeah. It's just so easy to go video. Any kind of distraction is just so easy. All right. So we're already cool. All right. So you were saying you got in, you micromanaged a bit. You're doing like the super rep thing where you want to jump in and save deals.
Yeah.
How does somebody know, if you could go back in time into early Valerie, the leader, and tell her, you know, whatever the scale is of micromanage to being totally hands off, where's the right place to be, and how do you know that you're there?
You know, that's a hard one to figure out, because it can be different for each person. There are people that I've managed that, you know, I don't have to tell them to do anything. All I need to do is trust them and get roadblocks out of their way, and they excel and do an amazing job. Then there are folks that need to be held accountable to be successful. One of the things that I tell everybody, though, is that ultimately the great thing about sales is that in a way, you're your own boss. So I fully expect that every single person that works on my team to hold themselves accountable if they need my support to do that. So if you know, and we have conversations about that. Let's say somebody's struggling and, you know, we talk through, okay, well, what do you think you need to do to get to these metrics? Let's talk through that. What's the logic behind that? Why do you think that X amount of opportunities are going to lead to Y amount of sales, right? So we kind of work our way backwards and get it to a place where we both agree upon a plan. So that way it's not so much me telling them, look, this is what you need to do and how to do it, et cetera. It then puts the ownership back on their hands because that's ultimately who they need to be accountable to. You know, sales, you eat what you kill, right? Like that's kind of how it goes. And if you're not self-motivated to constantly stay on top of yourself, like no manager is going to ultimately make you super successful within that job long-term, because that manager likely will have many different reps, many different things going on. You may not have that specific manager in your career forever. So if you're relying on one person to hold you accountable to certain metrics that they set, that's not setting you up for that long-term success. So, you know, I think that's something I learned over time as far as how to figure it out and who needs some more of that support. I'd say it definitely does take time. It does take some trial and error. But I think one thing that I've learned, and this is not something that I did initially, but is really instill that trust within the team and, you know, focus on empowering them to hold themselves accountable and then helping them through strategies on then how to do that. And that ultimately leads to better results.
Okay. How, so you're setting up all of your reps and walk them through the plan, like, or I guess developing a plan together for how they're going to go after their number. Really like that. How often would you have that conversation?
So depends on the stage of the rep, right? Like if it's a newer rep that's their first time in the job, you know, there are some metrics that we set, right? Like there's, okay, you should be working on getting X amount of activities out so you can get Y amount of ops so you can then meet your numbers, right? As they, and this is also for our sales cycle, which is not a transactional sale. So these things can also differ in a transactional sale. I've worked in a transactional environment. Every sale is a formula, but transactional is very clear cut formula. Like, you know, for consultative and longer term sales, like there is more of that art to it and everybody's strategy might be slightly different and win rates and close rates. I mean, same thing with, anyway, so that's something where when they start, we set certain metrics, we set certain metrics from the start. And then if they're not achieving them, which typically they do, but if they're not achieving them, then we'll have a conversation about that. Okay. Like what's preventing you from this? You know, can I help get some roadblocks out of the way? If they are achieving them and still not getting to the right numbers, then we kind of have that discussion. Okay, is that more of a coaching issue? Is there something that we need to work on? Once a rep has hit their stride, meaning they know what they're doing, they know how to get to their numbers, I kind of let them manage their own pipelines how they see fit. The way I see it, if they're achieving their outcome of the net new businesses to bring on, then great. You know, then let's figure out how to then make that number even higher, right? Let's get you more, let's make you more commission. Let's set some goals there. If they are not achieving that number, then are they sourcing enough opportunities? Are they working the opportunities effectively? You know, are they doing the activity? So it's really about working backwards once a rep is in that more, I guess, mature AE level. And then on the flip side, when they're new, you have to just give them that guidebook.
All right. What would you say is your superpower as a sales leader?
So I was thinking about this because, you know, it's bizarre, right? I never think of myself with a superpower. I asked one of my reps that he's the person that I've worked with probably the longest out of everybody on my team. And he said to me, he said, it's memory. He said, no matter how much time has passed, Val, like you always remember a deal that was worked on like 4 years ago and, you know, some circumstances there. And so that's one that he mentioned, which I guess is true. You know, yeah, it's, I would say, my memory's gotten a little bit worse through the years, but, but I think it's still there. It's still good. because more stuff goes into your brain, right? Like it gets a little worse. But
why do you think you're able to remember all of that? Or do you have any tips for somebody who wants to be able to remember those kinds of details?
So I think yoga and meditation definitely help. I'd say
what kind of meditation do you do?
More so during the yoga practice. And sometimes I do different breathing exercises, like alternate nostril breathing and, you know, things like that. But yeah, I'd say that also being present when you're in a conversation. So oftentimes, and you know, this happens at times as well to me, but ideally it's giving the 100% focus, turning off the notifications, not looking at the phone, really being present and focusing on listening to the other person. It's easier said than done, right? Because we have so many different distractions in our world. And especially now in COVID, I mean, if you have pets or family members or significant others or roommates, like there's distractions all over the place. So, but figuring out a way to take that time to focus, that I think is huge.
Cool. Because it's hard to remember something if you're only half listening.
Right.
All right. This is my favorite new question. What is something you thought was true about leadership until you actually became a leader? You found out it's not.
So I always thought you'd have to keep very, I don't want this to come across the wrong way either, but very kind of strictly professional relationships, meaning like you don't talk about personal life. You don't talk about how you're feeling. You know, that was my perspective going into it. It was more about, okay, we're here to do a job. Let's get it done. I've learned over time that when you lead with empathy and compassion, not just for the work that the folks that you're working with are doing, but also for the situations that they're in their lives, like it makes for a much better relationship and dynamic and working relationship in general. So especially with this year. So that's something that I personally didn't see as much. I can be a private person. Sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. And so I think that's something that oftentimes I tend to not bring my personal life into work. And so I kind of assumed that onto the relationships that I would build as a leader, but that, you know, it helps to build that trust.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're saying, you know, like I had the same, let's call it problem early, I think, because I'm just, you know, I'm a down to business kind of person. Mm-hmm. You know, show up, start working time, work throughout the day, yada, yada. I think the opposite spectrum are people who make friends with everybody and doesn't necessarily get anything done.
Right.
So you're like, right. You have to straddle those extremes. You know, the work is important, but we're all, remember to be human with your reps.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I mean, when I got detention in elementary school, it was for talking to my friends during class, right? Like it was for being social and bringing my personal life into quote unquote work at the time. So, you know, we're conditioned in school to also just focus on the classes or the curriculum, you know, when you're in it and not bring in or interject any kind of your personal world. And so in a way that's what then transfers mentally. And also many, many jobs when you're growing up, right? Like if it's a part-time job at my first one was at Cold Stone. You know, it's not like you're chit-chatting with your boss oftentimes about your life. It's just, okay, let's meet the customer. So it's a different dynamic, but it definitely helps to build more of that relationship with the team that you work with. And it makes work more enjoyable too, because it's not so dissociated from your life.
Yeah. I worked at a restaurant, similar experience, where by the time you had time to talk to your coworkers, that meant that they could cut you. And you could go home. And so it's like, I feel you on that one.
Yeah.
Cool. And then, so any broadly just general advice you'd have for somebody who either is looking to get that first sales management promotion or just got it or has been doing it maybe a year, something mm-hmm. that they could look out for?
Yeah. I mean, there's like a variety of things that I'd say here. Let's say for the person that has not yet gotten a promotion, that is wanting to aspire to that. I mentioned this probably somewhat poorly in my introduction, but I think having had experience at companies where there was very strong sales training structures helped me a lot because, you know, if you're, let's say, trying to go into management within a company that doesn't really have a robust training platform, you're going to be growing that from the ground up in many ways. And if you're trying to figure that out completely from scratch, it's going to do you a disservice and the people that you work with a disservice. So having experience within an organization that gives you that foundational knowledge, hint, hint, JustWorks is hiring and has a great program, then that's going to definitely help expedite your growth. Secondly, for the person that, let's say, is already, you know, has already done that, is on that path, be vocal, ask for what you want, ask not just for what you want, but what you need to do to get there. Be open to that feedback and then show your superiors that you're doing that stuff. And then ask again, what else do I need to do? You're the only person that truly can advocate for your career throughout. Hopefully you're lucky enough to meet others along your way that also support you in that advocacy, but you know, you have to have ownership over your career. So that's the other thing. And, you know, I'd say thirdly is seek out mentors. So, you know, I've been fortunate to meet many, many folks, not just in sales, but in startup community that have built their careers and gone through challenges. And, you know, I even started an event series where I learned from other women that had built their own businesses. And that helped me a lot because, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're the only person in a room of a certain kind too, like you want to know that you have the strength within you to speak out and to have that voice. And when you have others around you that are similar, that are saying, you know what, it's okay, here's what you do, that's going to help you. So mentorship, that guidance, if you're not sure where to look, go to events. I mean, right now, yeah, everything's virtual, but those events are still happening. And there's organizations like Revenue Collective, like Women in Sales Everywhere. Like there's just a ton of different organizations out there that can help expedite that growth through mentorship programs.
Excellent. Well, Valerie, thanks so much for coming on the show. You have a lot of excellent knowledge that we pulled out of your brain. And I can't wait to share this with everybody. So thanks so much.
Of course. Thanks, Derek.